Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters, and this paradigm shifter that we've got today in this wonderful show is going to really get you waking up to what we all know, which is that we can create our reality, but it takes a little work. So welcome to the show, Terry McBride.
Thank you, Veronica. It's a delight to be with you.
Yes, and you've been through, it is for me as well, Terry, but you have been through, at 24 years old, you were given such a health sentence, it's just enough to make your hair curl. But now you're a little older than that, and you moved your way through it using, what, your heart, your mind, your inspiration. So let's talk about
mostly my mind. You know, when I started, I was in my early 20s when I... So I had a spinal fusion. The spine got, during surgery, the spine got infected with E. coli bacteria.
And I had never heard of that before. That's terrific. That's awful, isn't it?
Yeah. E. coli is a bad bug. Mm-hmm. There just isn't a lot of antibiotics for it. And over the next 11 years, I had like 27 major surgeries. Because with E. coli, they essentially have to go cut it out. And with the infection in my spine, I always had to have what they call a draining sinus, you know, a hole from my abdomen going all the way down to my spine where the fluid could come out from the infection. And
was that pain? Was that really painful?
Oh, at times, it was, yes.
Okay.
In fact, I was thinking last night after, I did the workshop at the Unity Church here in Bellingham, and when I came back last night, I was sitting thinking, and I thought, when did you really decide to be a teacher? And what came to me was one night when I was screaming into my pillow in the hospital, nobody deserves to hurt this much. And that was sort of the, I didn't know it at that time, but that was sort of the declaration of, this has got to stop. This pain and suffering and believing, in pain and suffering has got to stop. I mean, I didn't know that's what was going on at the time, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me this. So you took an interesting route. Were you already a metaphysician? Were you already on the spiritual path?
No, I was not. I mean, my mom was real positive and real upbeat about believing in your dreams, but, people talk about all things are possible if you believe they are, stay focused on your dream. But the people I knew, they didn't all have the life they always loved. They mm-hmm. they weren't consistently applying choice in their life. So these metaphysical principles are talked about. I see people all the time. They have a sticker on the refrigerator that says, "The universe awaits my intention." Mm-hmm. But are they really... my question when I speak is, are you really using these principles to believe... to really believe that your intention, sets the universe in motion, that kind of thing.
Well, and tell me this. So if you're 24 years old or whatever, and you're screaming into your pillow because you're in excruciating pain, and they're carving up your body with the prognosis not being very vigorous, it's pretty interesting that you would come up with that. Like, that's the challenge we all need to... Not that we all need to be in excruciating pain, but we need, when we're in challenges, to really get with the belief structure and the creating, don't we? I mean, that was pretty brave of you to do that.
Well, once they said, oh boy, this infection, at first I had the infection, they said, oh, we'll fix this. But then after about a year and six surgeries into it, that's when I was at the University of Washington Medical Center, and they came in and they said, look, this infection has spread. It's in your abdomen. It's throughout your pelvic area. It's eaten holes in your colon. It's followed both your sciatic nerves and your thighs. And we have to go in and clean all that out, and you're not going to come out of this hole. And that's why, the name of my book is The Hell I Can't.
But it took you a few years to get that feisty about it, didn't it?
Well, I had given my trust. I had given my, the reality of my life over to allopathic medicine. Mm-hmm. I mean, whenever I got sick before, I went in the doctor, they do this to this, and they fixed me. Mm-hmm. And so I was just assuming they were going to fix me. And then when all of a sudden allopathic medicine came in and said, oops, we've reached the limits of our science, you cannot expect to come out of this hole, it was like, well, now what do I do? Mm-hmm. Now what do I do? But in that time, somebody gave me a book by a fellow named Maxwell Maltz. He was a famous plastic surgeon. It's called Psycho-Cybernetics. And on page two of that, he says that we have this thing called a self-image. It's our beliefs, our attitudes, our opinions, our emotions, and he sort of grouped all that into our self-image. And on page two, he says, all of our, you know, attitudes, opinions, beliefs, even our abilities are always consistent with our self-image. And then the next line, he says, and we can change our self-image. So I took that to mean that I can, if I can change my self-image and my abilities are always consistent with my self-image, that means I can change my abilities. And so that's when I started studying what you and I call metaphysics.
And were you in the throes of your illness at that time? Not, yeah, your illness.
Yeah, I was right in the middle of it, right in the middle of it. You know, and I had played with the power of the mind. I went to Everett Community College. It was Everett Junior College back then. And my psychology professor was only a couple years older than I was, and he did his master's thesis on hypnosis. And so he and I used to sit around and talk about the power of the mind, and under hypnosis, you know, when a person gets into a state, you can go in and reprogram the unconscious mind, if you will. And then when you reprogram the unconscious mind, then the person acts like that. And so I was interested in the power of the mind, the ability of consciousness, if you will. But it was when I got sick that I decided, you know, I better study this stuff. And then I brought in the spiritual aspect, because around the sixth surgery, they said, look, the chances of you getting well are a million to one. You would need a miracle. Now, for me, this young guy, where I came from, miracles involved God. And so I began to take a different look at some of the scripture references. You know, all things are possible if you believe they are. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believing you shall have it, you shall have it. The faith of a mustard seed will move a mountain. Well, how do I develop the faith of a mustard seed? How do I develop belief? So that's when I began to really study this idea of how do I take charge of what's going on in my mind? And as I mentioned Sunday at the Unity service, one of the greatest things about my healing, because now I'm 68 and perfectly healthy. I mean,
yeah, you look pretty feisty and you look pretty fit, I thought.
I'm real thrilled with who I am. And I remember, I mean, I had a colostomy where I went to the bathroom in a plastic bag and they said the lower end of my colon would never heal. I would probably have that colostomy forever. I'd probably lose the use of my legs. I mean, so what I said on Sunday was the greatest thing about my healing is really not that I got well. For me, that's the greatest thing. But for the people that I work with and coach and who come to my workshops, the greatest thing about my healing is when I started studying this stuff, I didn't believe I could ever be really healthy. I thought I could make a difference in my mind. Maybe I wouldn't suffer so much. Maybe I wouldn't be in depression so much. I think I mentioned Sunday I started using these principles so I wouldn't cry myself to sleep every night.
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it?
And so I knew I could take charge of things like that. I could think, you know, when I go to bed, instead of thinking about poor me, ain't it awful, aren't I in pain, I could go to bed and think about how healthy my children were, you know, how blessed I was to have a wife that was supporting me, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I could change what I thought about and thereby not cry myself to sleep, if you will. But as I began to study more and more, what I began to, you know, there were great teachers that said, no, if a person changes their mind, they can actually change the results they can produce. They can take charge, you know, if you will. You can take charge of your creative mind, and in doing that, you can begin to understand how powerful one's consciousness, one's belief